Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Tronny Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Tronny Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your yarn in circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Tronny Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dindji country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say in yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all that traditional across the beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong. All right, we're going to jump straight into it. We're talking about skincare brand Native Secrets Australia has been recognised for its innovative approach, delivering product enhanced by traditional medicinal practices. We're now going to talk to Sherry and Phil Thompson, Native Seeds Australia founders, and got them on the line. We have Sherry on the line. Sherry, good morning. How are you?
Good, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, Sherry, can you let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, please?
Yeah, sure. I am a Wowan woman from Central West, New South Wales. And Trevor, I actually also have my husband, Phil, with
us Phil.
As well today.
Phil, how are you, Phil?
Good, bro.
Yeah, hey, good, good, brother.
Phil Thompson, I'm a Bidjara man from Central Queensland.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, welcome, and big shout-out to both your country, all your mob there. Thank you very much. Let's talk Native Secrets Australia. You guys are the founders, so we're talking about skincare brand. Look after that black skin. So tell us about how it all started with you guys. And I don't know, can we talk ingredients? Can we talk about the products that you're using, please?
Yeah, sure. So we actually started Native Secrets as a way for us to be able to share our stories and a way to keep our culture alive.
Good.
What we were finding is that, there's not a lot of positive conversations between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we started Native Secrets.
Fantastic. So we're talking about looking after their skin. We're talking about business opportunity. We're talking about traditional practices, and putting it into a financial form in regard to a business entity. And here you are, no looking back. How long has Native Secrets Australia been running for?
We started about 8 years ago, Trevor, down in Dubbo on Wiradjuri Country in Western New South Wales. So
good,
we've been
good.
For that long. Yeah.
So you got a shop front, or is it all online?
We've got some wholesalers around the country.
Good.
And we've got a couple of motel chains.
Yes.
But mainly, yeah, definitely online. You know, we're on Amazon and all that sort of stuff, but
yep.
As well. So, yeah, we're slowly growing. It's not easy building a skincare brand, but
yep.
We're excited to be in the position we are in right now.
All right. And Sherry, what work did you do prior to this?
Totally different. I've actually got a background in education, so I was a teacher for 15 years.
Yeah.
And we started Native Secrets and went back to uni and did my master's in business,
yes.
Which is obviously not something I thought I would have done 15 years ago. But not a skincare background.
Sure.
But
okay.
Yeah, learning a lot.
And how do you come about regarding the products that you're using? Are we talking about communication, conversation with elders as such, and the ingredients that you're using and the resources? Is that the case?
Absolutely. So for me, Trev, growing in outback Queensland,
yes.
You know, surrounded by these plants, and we have a medicinal plant out there that's been in our family for generations.
Yeah.
So it's always been in the back of my mind to do something with our medicinal plants and native plants and bush tucker. And when we got to Dubbo, we had this opportunity to work with a local mining group with their what they call biodiversity offsets. So, but what's unique about us is we use traditional land management practices to help manage those biodiversity offsets. And the tree, we have a holistic approach to what we do, so there's no waste. We have a circular economy. You know, we keep saying the language might be new, but our people have been, the concepts have been around for thousands of years. So
it
circular
has.
Economy, no waste. So all those trees that we take out, we manufacture essential oils, and those oils go into our skincare brand, Native Secrets. But it's all based off traditional knowledge of what those plants are really good for.
And your background, Phil, what did you do prior to the skincare brand?
Basically, I grew up chasing sheep and cattle around the west.
Yeah.
And then I got a government job. Would you believe I was working for Centrelink in Atlin Street in Cairns for a long time?
Oh, is that right? Well, there you go.
Yes.
Blast from the past.
That's right. So anyone that needed their app study processed in the early...
Call Phil Thompson.
I'd probably help them out, I reckon.
Oh, there you go. Fantastic.
Government background, you know, and then I was doing another government contract down here in Metairie, actually. And then...
Beautiful.
Yeah, I've been stuck here ever since.
Look, fantastic. Congratulations. Team effort, husband and wife team, Native Secret Australia. You've got a web page as such?
Yeah, nativesecrets.com.au, bro.
Okay, .com.au. Fantastic. And look, congratulations. You were part of the annual KPNG Challenge Champions, and you were part of that category, and you picked up a win there. Is that right?
Yeah, we won the First Nations Award.
Yes.
Recognised for the work we've done. So, yeah, that comes with a few benefits. They have their hostess middle of the year, KPMG, in the middle of Sydney, and we get to meet some people.
Good.
But also we access some pro bono support from them guys to work on a few projects for us to take us, you know, to make us even more efficient.
All right, fantastic.
In what we're doing here.
Sherry, the products you're using, are we talking cream-based? Are we talking oil-based? Put on skins, and how do you bottle it? How do you manufacture it? How do you ship it out to people? Tell us the process there, please, Sherry.
Yeah, I guess the process starts, Trev, with us being able to manage the biodiversity out here. And so, but what makes us unique is that the trees that we take out, we actually manufacture essential oils. Here locally in Dubbo, that oil, and we're talking about white cypress oil, then goes into the skincare, which very exciting. We're actually bringing all our manufacturing in-house.
Beautiful.
So we currently distill the oils here,
but
by the end of the year, hopefully sooner, we'll actually be making the skincare locally here as well.
Fantastic. And what about staff? How many staff on board?
At the moment, there's four of us.
Okay.
But we've received a government grant, Regional Job Creation Fund.
Yes.
And we'll create 20 jobs in the next 3 years.
Fantastic. Great. And you are based in Dubbo, is that right?
Based in Dubbo on Wiradjuri country.
Beautiful. Well, congratulations. Leading from the front. Enjoy the journey. That's what it's all about. When we're talking about stepping outside your comfort zone, that's exactly what you and Phil have done. So it's about enjoying the journey, go a mile, see a mile, and look at business. Black people can be in business too, and it's a great concept, great idea, and congratulations. Thanks for the yarn, you too.
Thanks, Trev. Appreciate it, bud.
So once again, nativesecretsaustralia.com.au, that's it?
That's it.
All you deadly mob out there, do check it out. Look after that deadly skin. As we get older, sometimes we go frail. Well, using Native Secret Australia's products can make you sound and look very, very deadly. Too deadly. Thank you, guys. All the best, hey?
Yo,
take care. Yo. Beautiful yarn there. That's Sherry and Phil Thompson, the founders of Native Secrets Australia. So skincare brand. And I need that for top of my head here, bald-headed fella, use their skincare. So do look at their webpage, and that's one word, nativesecretsaustralia.com.au. And supporting black people in business, there it is. Have your saying, yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416.
Thank you. you can twist it, you can bend it, pull it up or wear it down. It's these hands that hold the story, shake these curls, let it grow, wear it proud. Black is my hair.
Black is my hair.
I wear it down.
I wear it down.
Black is the memory.
Black is the memory.
Strengthens my crown.
And it strengthens my crown.
Yeah, yeah. Which way? Watch the flames light up the night, break new ground.
Black is my sorrow.
Black is my sorrow.
My blood and bone.
My blood and bone.
Within me.
Take me back home. Yeah, yeah. Which way?
We'll be right back. My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
I'd climb a mountain, I'd cross the sea, I'd do whatever just to make you see. We had the distance, but you just wouldn't try. I sat up late at night wondering why. I gave it too much love, that's why you died. So that's why I've got to walk another mile to find another loving angel in my time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Another loving angel. 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 Now it's all been said and done. While our hearts were wild and young, we had our difference, now we must try. Another mile to find another loving angel in my time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Another loving angel. 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 Had the distance, but she just wouldn't try. I sat up late at night, wondering why. I gave her too much love, that's why you died. So that's why I've got to walk another mile to find another loving angel in my time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Another loving angel. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Another loving angel. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Another loving angel. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Another loving
Yeah.
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, yarn up strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from McCurry. I'm your host of your daily program, National Talk Black. 1 hour program, come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidindi country. That's BBM Bumrabrib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. All right, now, First Nations Australians dying at far higher rates from blood cancer. Research reveals gaps in care and support. This World Cancer Day, that's Wednesday, 4 February, the Leukemia Foundation has revealed world's first new research proving First Nations Australians are dying at significantly higher rates and younger from blood cancer and face substantial barriers to treatment and care compared to non-Indigenous Australians. We're talking about another gap here and about closing the gap. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Bill Stavisky, Leukemia Foundation, Head of Research, and we have Bill on the line. Bill, good morning. How are you?
Very good, Trevor. Good morning, and good morning to your listeners.
Thank you very much for coming to the program, Bill. Where are you based, Bill?
I'm based in Melbourne.
In Melbourne. All right. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, we are talking about another gap here. We are talking about First Nations Australians dying at a far higher rate from blood cancer than our non-Indigenous counterparts. So a lot of work to be done in this space. Please shed some light there, please, Bill.
Yeah, it's quite a dire report in terms of the findings. And prior to commissioning this report, there was limited information, and so we knew the evidence and the statistics weren't great,
yes.
But we didn't know how to the full extent. And so this research has really shone the light into how bad situations are, particularly for First Nations people living in regional and rural areas.
So with the research and with the findings from the research, now we know that, well, we do have a situation here, so we need to act upon it. What is the process? What do we need to do? Government need to be at the table, of course. First Nation health organisations, the Nacho Peak Body, all the above. It's a team effort, isn't it?
It very much is. It's a team effort, and not just government and not just First Nations organisations and health organisations, but throughout the whole community. And it really starts from awareness and understanding of blood cancer. What the research has found is awareness is low. So because we can't prevent blood cancer, we really need to know what signs and symptoms, what to look out for.
Yes.
And that information is critical to get out, particularly in regional rural areas where there's limited health services.
Exactly. When we're talking remote and what have you, of course. So they're the major barriers, you would say, Bill.
Yeah, so the information is one, but also most of the treatment is in the major capital cities. So it means travelling great distances, moving away from country. And that means not just travelling, but also the cost. We need support, financial support, but also wraparound support. It's support how to help people move to Brisbane or move to Sydney to have that all-important treatment.
And look, when we're talking about a first world country like Australia, well, we've got resources there that can help close this gap. So there's got to be a lot of action there in that department, that area, yes?
It sure needs to be. It's the resources are there. It's a matter of making sure that they're connected. For any of your listeners who are unfortunately facing blood cancer or know somebody who is, we urge them to reach out to the Leukemia Foundation. We provide accommodation for people who need to move to Brisbane or Sydney to have the all-important treatment to battle their cancer. And
sure.
But not just that, it's people who you can speak to, health professionals, financial support with transport. So the support is there, but it's making sure that people know about it as well.
Fantastic. And with the findings, of course, at the table, we have our First Nation health organisation like Nacho. This is communicated to them as well. So, like I said, becoming part of the team in regarding closing this gap. There's conversations happening with Nacho as well. Is that right?
Yeah, this research was led through the First Nations Cancer and Wellbeing Research Team at the University of Queensland.
Yes.
By Professor Gail Garvey, so very much led and designed by First Nations community It's had patients who of First Nation background who have been involved telling their stories, what the gaps are, what they face, but also with the local communities as well, the local health communities, to make sure that we can get the evidence, the information and the support throughout the country.
Well, if we tackle this area, then we then help close the gap in regarding life expectancy for First Nation people in this country, don't we?
It's very important. It, irrespective of your background, we're at the Leukemia Foundation, we want to ensure that every person deserves the same chance of surviving cancer. And even after blood cancer, after hospital, the support ongoing, because we know the cancer, the battle with cancer, doesn't just stop when you leave hospital, it continues.
This information, the findings regarding the research, is it available for the public?
Yeah, it will be available on the Leukemia Foundation website as after the release of today. So it's been released and further information, further support. But I do urge that any of your listeners, if they need any assistance or not sure, they can visit our website or get in touch with the foundation and any time we have a wraparound support, everything from accommodation to information to somebody they can speak to.
Bill, thank you for the information. Thank you for the yarn, very important yarn. All the best to you and your team. Take care, and we'll yarn soon, my friend.
Thank you, Trevor, and once again, good morning to your listeners, and please reach out for anybody who needs help. Reach out to the Leukemia Foundation.
Beautiful. Leukemia Foundation. Thank you, Bill. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Beautiful yarn there. Bill Stavesky, his name, Leukemia Foundation, head of research. Research has found that First Nation people, First Nation Australians, are dying a far higher rate from blood cancer. Research reveals gaps in care and support, and a lot of work needs to be done. Blood cancer is one of Australia's most rapidly rising cancers, yet new research shows First Nation Australians fare much worse than most, revealing a dire situation and a national public health and equity issue. Have your say and yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416.
The Minister for Indigenous Australians has invited the Cape York and North Queensland Land Councils to apply for further terms as the native title representative bodies for their regions. Indigenous people and people with native title interests in these regions can make a submission to help inform the Minister's decision. Submissions close on the 2nd of March 2026. Just search NIAA Consultations or contact us on 1800 079 098.
Station sponsor. You now need to be 16 or over to have an account on social media. It's part of a new law to keep young mobs safer online. Learn more at esafety.gov.au. Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Station sponsor.
This is Mark Harbrow. You're tuning in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev on the mic.
1-800-422-416.
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Trendy Trev here, having your say. Yarn up strong here. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong? Daily number here, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, Yann, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host of your daily program, National Talk Black, Yann Upstrong here. Next segment, you've got Which Way Yanni with Edmonton Police. And we've got Senior Sergeant Len Delay, an actual fact, acting inspector, he's doing at the moment. We'll talk about that. And also have his bodyguard. We've got police liaison officer, and that's Stephen Grant. And a very good morning to you both. How are we, gents?
Welcome back, Trevor. 2026.
Yeah, 2026. Now, we're on there. Just checking there. Yeah. Senior Sergeant Len Delay, you on there? Were you there? Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, there. Got you. All right. Start with you, Steve. Who your mob? Where you from, brother?
Yeah, Trev. I'm proud Jitterbug Gittermain boy. Footprints in the Mission Beach Cardwell area and a little town called Tully, the wettest town
in Australia. Big gumbo.
That's
thank
correct.
You very much, brother.
Exactly.
Len, of course, Senior Sergeant Len Delay, Atherton boy, and commutes down to Edmonton Police Station. Senior Sergeant there at the office, but you're acting inspector at Cairns office at the moment.
Yeah, that's right.
Explain that first.
Yeah, oh, look, our inspector's taking a bit of leave, so I'll get my chain pulled and I'm sitting in his seat for the minute. And,
there you go.
Yeah, looking after the Country Eastern Patrol Group.
And how long are you in that seat for, acting?
It's going to be another week.
Another week?
Yeah.
All right, beautiful.
Yep.
So how long has it been?
Been there for a fortnight now.
All right, fantastic. Oh, well, enjoy that journey. That's what it's all about. But you still make time for Which Way Yarning, coming to Bummer Bipper for Yarn on National Talk Black. And our topic today, Varick, which is Video Recorded Evidence in Chief. Explain what this is, and is it a great tool in regards to police work?
Yes, look. I'll start with what evidence in chief is, and that's the questioning in court of a witness just to establish a core of facts of a case. And that's usually when you're a victim of a matter and police take a written statement from you.
Yes.
And you're sitting up in front of the court getting questions asked of you of what you can recall of the event.
Okay.
Look, that can be difficult in itself, just trying to recall what actually happened.
Exactly.
Sometimes months and years before.
Well, now we're talking video. So we're talking about police officers that wear cameras. Is that the videos we're talking about coming from those cameras?
That's right. So the video recorded evidence in chief is okay. on our body cameras. And look, previously that wasn't admissible in court, or it was, but mainly for our vulnerable people as like our children that would be able to give a video recorded evidence. So,
okay.
Look, some laws have changed. We've had a pilot.
So we weren't allowed to use these videos before,
correct.
This footage before, but now we can as the new laws have changed.
Correct.
Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah.
So we've got we've had a pilot program on the Gold Coast and Ipswich Police Divisions from September 2022 for a year. That's been overviewed by and had an independent evaluation by the University of Queensland.
Mm-hmm.
And they've come out with some key benefits of video recording evidence in chief.
Well, I think it's a great tool.
Ooh. Yeah.
And then it saves the victim, in a way, being interrogated again in court.
Ooh. Exactly.
You know what I mean? I mean, the emotion that they're running through and what has happened to that person, you know. Well, here's the video and picture says a thousand things more than...
That's
you know,
right.
Words.
Yes. So, look, it does. It can be fairly traumatising and stressful for the domestic violence complainant.
Okay.
And in that is them retelling their story several times, you know, obviously at the scene. Sometimes they get taken back to a police station prior to giving their statement.
Yes.
And then, of course, they've got to give their oral testimony, their evidence in chief at court.
So
now if we obtain this evidence at the scene and we can take a...
It can be used now.
It can be used and we play it to the court.
Yep.
Ooh. That doesn't mean they don't have to attend court. They still have to attend court. Defence have to...
But then they're sitting as victims to watch the video. But then the culprit who did the crime is watching the video too, isn't he?
Yeah, look...
Whoever it is.
Absolutely. And look, sometimes they can be excluded from the court for whatever reasons if it's going to be too traumatic for the victim.
Mm.
But, you know, the real benefits are that it's played to the court. They don't have to recall that information. Look, we capture their demeanour at the time.
Mm.
Look, that's I think, quite important evidence for the court.
Of course.
Particularly with those domestic violence matters. Mm. And look, it stops that.
It stops that
ability for the perpetrators to influence or coerce or intimidate people not to give the evidence at a later date. So we're capturing it at the time.
Well, exactly. And then the other side of the coin is, I mean, the victim's there crying and all emotional. trying to explain the situation, the opposition could be saying it's all an act. You know, but when you're looking at the footage, so to speak, it's traumatizing.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're under that attack, you don't know if you're going to come out of this alive. Yeah, there's the emotion side of it.
Yeah, exactly. And look, and defense will probably argue that that's, something that they didn't want to see in court because, the reason it wasn't allowed in court previously is to ensure a fair trial. And so, you know, we're actually just talking to people after the fact. So certainly those emotions can influence.
But the video is the actual fact.
That's right.
If you look at it.
Yeah.
And that's what we want. We want.
And it saves a lot of time when the victim has to record that if he or she's going through Police Link 131444.
Mm.
And obviously, as Glenn's just explained about the officers having those body-worn cameras.
Yeah, sure.
As evidence.
Yeah.
So look, and this is Queensland, so I know you've got a far wider audience than just our Sunshine State.
Yep.
But look, what's important to understand?
Different rules apply in different states and territories, eh?
Correct.
Legislations.
Legislations.
When police arrive at these incidents now, they're going to actually ask you for consent to take this this type of evidence. So you have to give your consent for police to give your evidence on video recording.
Okay, radio.
You can withdraw that consent at any time.
Is that the victim or the culprit?
The victim.
The victim. Yep. Thank you. Okay,
so they're able to withdraw that consent at any time.
Yeah.
And they have to understand that recorded statement will be played in court as their evidence.
Mm. Yeah.
And like I've stated, they're still required to attend court because we do have to give the defence or the perpetrator's counsel the ability to cross-examine that evidence after that video evidence has been played.
Thank you. Senior Sergeant Glenn Delight, how long has videos been out? Worn videos on cameras worn out?
Look, I think
15 years?
Yeah. Look, I think I was playing around with our first sort of cameras back in 2011.
2011?
2010, they may have been around.
11, so what's that? 14 years? 15 years? Yeah. Shane, thank you. Yep. So... And it takes like 15 odd years for them to sort of pass this as they use the video. Because I'm thinking that's why the cameras are there, to protect, well, both the officer and, the constituents, the people.
And look, the reason for that is we've had some to jump some legal boundaries to allow that to happen. I know it's something that our police unions felt very strongly about in the past, that we wanted to get this evidence into the courts.
Sure.
I think it's going to be something very positive for our victims and our victims of domestic violence.
Well, I think so. And when we talk about, we talk about youth crime, which is pretty high, but when we talk about domestic violence, that's way higher again.
That's correct.
So there's a big, we have a big situation here in regard to domestic violence that we need to stamp out domestic violence, as well as youth crime and all the crimes, what have you. And the video now having it to be in court, so to speak, to help in regard to the court case, I think it's a good thing.
Look, it's another tool, and it's going to be something fairly positive. We've got to remember this is only related to domestic violence.
So you can't use for anything else, stolen car or something like that.
Or assaults on
an officer or anything to that effect.
We're still limited to those paper statements but look, it's baby steps.
Hopefully the courts
will see something in the future and bring it right throughout all our offences.
All right, fantastic. Stephen Grant, so you are still wearing the hat you're wearing regarding police liaison officer recruitment. Is that the area you're working in?
Currently I'm doing the coordination state PLO coordinator.
Okay.
For another week or so, I believe.
Rightio. Then what happens after that?
I go back into my regular position, which is the First Nations recruiting team here in Queensland.
In Queensland. Yeah. All right, beautiful.
So I'd just like to give a bit of a shout out to my members up in downtown sunny Brisbane there at Level 5, the First Nations Division, to the Golden Girls.
Yes, Golden Girls.
Yep.
Boys up there?
There's Uncle Adrian there, Deadly Murray, you know. But Maria, get well soon. Mm. And the other ladies. And a special birthday call out to my colleague in Townsville, Rathara Byra.
Okay, Rathara.
Rathana. She's
happy birthday.
Happy 50th today.
Yeah, there you go, girl.
So happy days ahead of you, and we look forward to catching up when you visit the Cairns.
Yeah, fantastic. Happy birthday. Good yarn with you, gentlemen. Thank you for the yarn there and the education on Varick. video recorded evidence in chief. Thank you very much, Senior Sergeant Linda Lai. You go back to acting. Yep.
Back to acting, yep.
For another week, brother.
Yep. Doesn't sound
enjoy
right.
The journey. We say don't act, but you're acting. Steve, good to see you.
Yes,
you take
too.
Care, gentlemen.
Yes, thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye. A beautiful yarn there with the boys in blue. A big shout out to Edmonton Police and also a big shout out to Perry's IGA, who give us a box of fruit here at Bummer Bipper Media. Healthy living, healthy lifestyle. Chew on a banana or a mango rather than a Kit Kat. So there it is. Healthy living, healthy lifestyle. Your daily program, National Talk Black. Trinity Trevor about to sign off. Thank you for your company. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow. And that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. And we'll yarn soon. Stay tuned for the news via NERS, National News Radio Service. And a big shout out to the NERS team as well. Too deadly.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now at 1-800-422-416.